The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 176. Super excited to have a buddy of mine on the show today, John Sisk. Got a chance to go down and hang out with John and his staff down at Georgia Tech. He's the head strength coach there. I've known him since he's been at Furman. He's been there. He's been Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech. Just a great guy, and really enjoyed my time spending down there with him, his staff, getting to watch some training sessions, and just we talked shop for probably 2 to 3 hours. Just a wealth of information. Know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Before we do, we want to make sure we recognize our sponsor, EliteForm. EliteForm is a sports science company based in Lincoln, Nebraska. You've heard me talk about them quite a bit through the years. Just a phenomenal group of people. Very on the cutting edge of technology. Very innovative. Game changer in a lot of ways. And I'd encourage you, if you're not already, make sure that you go to their social media on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram. If you're like me, you like to see in facilities, you like seeing what people are doing, how they're using things, I would definitely follow them. They're doing a great job there. They've also just released an update on their strength planner where they're able to make updates from your phone and tablet, not just on the computer, which is a great feature, great addition to what they're doing with Strength Planner. And even if you're not using the tracker, then you would want to look into the Strength Planner. It's a great way to be able to push workouts to your athletes and things on those lines. So follow EliteForm on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. Stay up with what they're doing, and just if anything else, let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the show and what they do for Iron Game Nation. So I want you to sit back, enjoy this episode with John, super guy, and I know you're going to get a ton out of this one. Take care. Hey guys, super excited to have a good buddy of mine, John Sisk, down at Georgia Tech, and it's really cool just to be in this environment, having an opportunity to talk with a longtime friend and hang out. We've been talking, Coach, we've been talking for almost 3-4 hours already.
Oh, yeah.
Spend so gracious amount of his time with me, and just fun to talk shop. And so we wanted to have him on the show. Man, I'm super pumped that you're on.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here today.
Yeah, man, awesome. This is great. I got a chance to hang out with the staff. Just a phenomenal group. But, you know, Coach, we go back quite a few years. You know, talk to, you know, just Reader's Digest version, kind of how you got into the field of strength and conditioning in the first place, and then kind of the stops that you've made to get here to Georgia Tech.
Well, just in college, I knew that I either want to be college coach or working and be a strength coach, and back then it was I want to be a college recruiter or a strength coach. And in high school, I coached 3 years in high school football, and found out I didn't want to coach high school. I wanted to be in a college setting, and finishing up school, I got a chance to get with Coach Batson at Furman. He just got hired at Furman University from South Carolina, and went down there and made $1,200 a year. And got started, and he treated me great, and got my feet wet. And took the first head job right when I was before. I was 24 years old, 23, wow, at Western Carolina, and head strength coach where I played ball and grew up, and learned a lot quickly with 16 sports. I made $16,000, and it was awesome. The head coach actually recruited me to Western Carolina and coached my high school, so I got a chance to work with someone I knew real well, and kind of moved on to Clemson and got him. And from then, had a great mentor, Coach Batson, but obviously, Doc Priest has a lot to do with the influence on me. First clinic I went to, I think we talked about it, the University of Tennessee, and the passion he had shown in coaching and working with athletes, and just continuing to learn from guys like that.
you know, that's you're a head strength coach at 23 years old, and our paths have pretty much kind of gone about the same way. I was a head strength coach at 23 years old as well, and I know being that young, being in that environment, I made a million mistakes.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure you have as well. What's been the biggest mistake that you've made in coaching, and then how you learned from that as you have gone through?
I think the biggest thing is communicating with coaches. You know, you come in there, fire and brimstone, and try to create an environment, and learning that they have a job too, and what your role is as a strength coach is to help them be successful, help the kids be successful, and you know, and being one person, mm-hmm. and you got to service 16 sports. The communication probably wasn't as good as it should have been, sure. on the front end, and probably created some barriers in front, and you got to kind of put those down as you go, as you grow. And it happened because it was one person, so you got to regulate the whole room. Everybody come in with a fire and brimstone, and you know, you want to create that atmosphere of work, and they haven't done a lot of things, and probably would look at that, probably not one of the worst things, but something I would probably look at how I communicate on the front end of my career, and I always try to continue to do so with emails and stuff to make sure the emails are sound correct when you send them out, and you don't come across in certain ways. So some people take things very differently when you send emails out to coaches and things. So.
Sure. You know, the communication, I mean, is the basis of any strong relationship, obviously, and with your coaches, with your staff. What's maybe three things that you tell them, you know, to improve so that they don't make that mistake?
Well, I think, again, you know, knowing each other a little bit, I have a different staff. You know, everybody's not like me. I'm talking about to hire everybody like me. We talked about that. But I think just being himself, I think, is I try to let guys become who they are as coaches. I try not to you know, micromanage them. And coach like me, I was fortunate to find out my coaching voice and how I go about communicating things. I kind of like watching guys coach and let them become who they are. Even our young guys, our interns, I try to let them learn who they are, because when they leave here, they've got to know who they are.
Sure.
And if they don't, they're not going to be me. I'm not going to be there to help them and guide them. So they do have to make some mistakes, and we try to make sure that they don't make big mistakes or they're communicated to the athletes and with each other. And I think the big thing is always learning. I've got a group of people that do a good job of continuing to learn and bring a lot to our program. I think that's helps us grow all the time. And, you know, and be professional. I think always you're going to be seen differently than anybody else. My staff is around all athletes, not just one sport. So to be seen not just in the weight room, but in a dining facility or an academic facility, wherever, they carry themselves, you know, carry themselves well outside of here. So they do a great job. I'm very blessed to have a great staff.
Yeah, those touch points that you mentioned, you know, you've got to build that in as a strength coach. If you stay down within those four walls of that weight room and they never see you out, then it's kind of like, you know, that's when you really do kind of become this support staff type of position. I think most strength coaches, they don't appreciate that. They don't appreciate being called support staff. They're just as integrated as anybody else, but you've got to play the game as well. You got to get up there and you got to hang out, and sometimes you got to go, you know, go out and have dinner or get a drink or do something just to kind of, you know, to have those times where it's not such business. You know, not everything centers around strength and conditioning. I think that's important. We talked a little bit off camera earlier about, you know, the hiring process, and you've had some jobs come open here, and when you're looking at young coaches, and you've had a number of really qualified coaches come in, and when you look at their resume, they've got all the knowledge, and they've got maybe they check the boxes of where they've been. What are you looking for specifically when you're hiring somebody?
I think the big thing is a fit. We have a different, our weight room's kind of landlocked. We don't have a lot of office space, and for a couple of positions, you got to get along with everybody.
Right.
I think it's a good fit. We spend a lot of time with each other. You know, you don't have to necessarily agree with everybody every day, but you got to have respect for one another. And when you're dealing with people 12 hours a day and in and out, and you're going to have some different philosophies on some things, that we all come to a commonality of working to help our athletes be successful on and off the field. And when looking for people, I don't want to look for me, because I don't want to – everybody doesn't like me. I understand that, and I'm ultimately responsible for a lot of things we do. But I want to bring people in that's going to be able to relate to different people and help me work with those kids. And with that, I think I've got like we talked about, a motley crew of guys that, you know, we've got a speed guy and an FMS guy, and Zach's kind of well-rounded. He's a power lifter, a strongman competitor, in the state of Georgia here. And adding to that, and I think we all kind of balance each other out. At the end of the day, we kind of bounce stuff off each other and come up with a program that helps our athletes. And been very blessed. Again, I talk about those guys a lot, and even with the Olympic side, with our coaches over there do a great job. Scott and Dan and Sam and Steve do a great job with our athletes. So we do have a good staff of people here to work with our kids.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I got a chance to really hang out with some of them earlier and gotten to know a handful of them through the years, and just lifelong learners, And I think that's one of the things that I've always respected about you is your continual pursuit to improve your knowledge base, to make your athletes better. You're one of the first guys I remember, from a strength coach perspective, that really, integrated kettlebell training in a big, big way. I see you at conferences all the time writing pages of notes. How have you, because it's easy. I mean, with the success that you had and, the types of, you create this system that works for you, it's easy to get caught up in just doing the same thing over and over and over again. How have you forced yourself as a coach that's been in this industry for 20 plus years now to continually sharpen that sword?
I think, you made a good point about kettlebells. I wasn't the first. It was Ethan Reed who really brought them in. And I kind of stole from Ethan, but he's been a big part of our kettlebell deal.
Absolutely.
But he helped me a ton, and I enjoy learning new stuff. That doesn't mean I'm always going to implement it. I think it's good to be aware of stuff because your athletes are very aware of stuff, and they're going to have stimulants that they have something they always want to go to. And I think you have to be able to coach with it or coach against it, or at least know something about it, some way to help them understand why we're doing what we're doing. Obviously, a lot of things work, stays consistent in the amount of time we have with them. But I'm always, and I think, and with the staff we have, I think they bring a lot of stuff to the table. We're such a technology age now, and finding what works and how it works and deciphering what you need to use, what you can't use, is always going to be an integral part of what we're trying to learn to do. But, I've been around some great coaches that like yourself. I took a lot of stuff, been a lot, and going to clinics. I mean, I spoke a lot, but the most I got is attending them, spending time with people and talking when we're not, they're presenting and talk stuff that you go through as a coach and continue to do. And we're very fortunate to be in a major area here in Atlanta to have a lot of people come through. Our door's always open. I learn more from you than you probably do from me.
No, I don't know.
And I think that's the one thing that allows us to have a lot of people come through here is where we're located at.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk location, because I think that's one of the unique challenges that you have here in Atlanta. I mean, you're landlocked, you're downtown, traffic's awful, parking's awful, and on top of all that, you have an elite level academic school. How do you, that presents its own challenges when you're recruiting, when you're the type of kid that you have, that you're working with. What are some of the things, coming from some of these other programs that you have, where you maybe didn't deal with those issues, that you had to come in and either maybe create some of that edge or kind of create the culture that you're looking for in the weight room?
Well, we got a great academic school, as we all know, and doing this all time. It's all time based. Our weight room is 120 yards away from a football locker room. We were fortunate 2 years ago to kind of redo our room that helped us, replace flooring.
Yeah.
And we got, hammer equipment in there, but we got a chance to make it a little bit more user-friendly and the space. And, and again, we're always fighting time with that. And for the kids, they want to be pushed. They're competitors. You have to compete. We always talk about when your feet touch the floor number one, you're going to compete.
Right.
Either athletically in ACC, we're in the classroom here, and it's a world-renowned education. If you don't like to compete, don't come to Georgia Tech. I mean, it's kind of simply put. And we do have a lot of support. Our academic support does a great job. We have to communicate with them a lot about kids that are in the engineering program.
Right.
We don't just recruit them on the recruiting process. They actually become engineers here.
Yeah.
And we've got to work around those constraints.
There's
going to be times a day that you have to make yourself a little bit more available because of the curriculum, and that's part of what our job is. Know that coming in. Our internship program in the summer is big to us. A lot of our kids do things in the summer. So at 6 and 7:30, we do our summer training. We have to come back in the afternoon and do extra skill work or whatever. So you have to logistically be in Atlanta when you got 6 million people. Right. It's a great asset, but also it becomes a little bit of hindrance when you got to train in the summer and get guys back on campus.
Sure.
And our kids do a real good job. Our head coach, Coach Johnson, does a good job of letting those guys grow in the city. If you have a certain GPA, you can live at least 4 miles off campus with our football team. So they learn how to grow up.
Sure.
And I think that's a big thing with guys moving on once they graduate. He doesn't get enough credit for that. Our guys do mature here and move on, and I think it's a huge deal.
With guys moving 4 miles off campus and doing things like that, obviously there is still a maturation process, so there's mm-hmm. opportunity for them to mess up.
Absolutely.
From an accountability structure, I showed up late because I got stuck in traffic. I was running the 125 yards and I was 2 minutes late. How have you handled those types of situations with your athletes?
I think the biggest thing when I first got here, they kind of just came in and I changed it. We meet in the team room. We all come down together as a unit. That make that trek together.
Sure.
It gives us the time to really focus in on what we got to do. And when you get in there, it's time to go to work. So when you touch the door, we all go in together at one time. So it's more of a unit instead of sporadically coming in and out.
Sure.
So I'm a control freak. And my guys are. So we want to kind of control that.
It's pretty much every strength coach that's listening.
Yeah. And so you want to try to, we try to control that a little bit more. Than, and as a learning deal, like you said, the facility issues thing, time. And I think our kids just communicate what expectations are. I think whatever we do is got to be early for us. And it comes down from the head coach. Our staff meetings as a staff and things are always early for us. Not an 8 o'clock meeting, it's usually 7:45 meeting. So,
right.
And that's just ingrained into us. And young guys are learning that thing, freshmen. There's this expectation there.
Sure.
And campus is a 400-acre campus. But there's a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces around.
Right.
Our indoors are half a mile away, so the kids, we walk to practice every day. It's just tradition here.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of what we do.
Yeah.
And I think they understand that. Being here in the summer helps, but when there's not a lot of students around and they learn how to navigate campus like most institutes do, it really helps us a lot on the front end. So when everybody gets back on campus, they know where they got to be time-wise and the expectations.
We're talking a week after you guys went over to Ireland to play in a mm-hmm. football game. So it's something that's unique,
yes,
right?
Sir.
With the travel, with the time difference, with, practicing in a different location, all this. What were some of the things that you did from a strength and conditioning perspective to either prepare or things that you did while you were there to kind of handle the situation?
I think the biggest thing we try to communicate is hydration. Just the flight over, dealing with, going into the game, make sure they weren't tired because we just come out of camp. We didn't have a lot of days off in camp. And because it is an ACC game, we had to have a lot of preparation on the field.
Right.
So we backed off a little bit in the weight room on the lower body just to get ready for the game with the travel. We use recovery pants for all the travel guys over there to sleep in. And we did those last year. But the hydration piece was doing liters of water on the plane, liters of water when they got off the plane,
right.
A lot of water at the hotel just to deal with the jet lag. And Coach did a tremendous job of having our schedule set. So he'd done this before with Navy. So a lot of the stuff we didn't do, the lights and all that stuff,
right.
Like some teams have done, he's been through it. So a lot of it was based on his experiences.
Sure.
And it really helped us a lot. And making sure the guys were ready to go. And then we played a great opponent in Boston College, a good team.
It's a good game.
And it was an exciting game. Fortunately, we came out on a win in the end of that. It was a very physical team. They do a great job. So, to get back here, to get back in routine, and playing here Saturday against Mercer is going to be a big challenge for us, but we look forward to it. You're ready to roll.
Yeah. You're back. You mentioned the routine now. So now you're back. It's back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Classes, no camp, the whole deal. What's your normal in-season strength and conditioning routine for your
most team? Most of our travel, our guys that play lift on Sundays, voluntary. Okay. We missed that Sunday. A lot of guys, we didn't want to be in here. They've been gone since Wednesday.
Right.
We got back
around,
we probably got home about 11:30 that night. A lot of guys need to rest.
Yeah.
And they haven't been in their apartments for a while. So that kind of got guys messed up a little bit, our older guys. So this week, coming off this game, going into the next week is going to be the real critical piece. So the rest was key. It's been 93 degrees most days here this afternoon. So you go from 64 degrees highs in Ireland to 57 at night with no air conditioning and the doors open in the hotel. we didn't have air conditioning in some most of the players' rooms out there. So
right.
You come back and you're in 93 degree heat, so to make sure they hydrate
for
the heat, not just for the jet lag. So continue to do that. And getting back into breakfast checks and the whole deal of moving forward this week, playing a 3:30 game as opposed to a 12:30 game overseas.
Right.
5 hour difference.
Yeah,
and
right.
Playing a noon game the next week. So a little more consistency moving forward next week.
What now? Once you get into the actual season, though, are you lifting 3 days a week?
We have three lifts: Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Our non-travel guys will lift Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If we're traveling, the non-travel guys will go at 5:30 on Friday mornings.
Okay.
Normally, we'll go at 2:30 on Friday afternoon before we go to the hotel. And me and my staff will all travel to the hotel Friday night, and we do soft tissue work there on Friday night at the hotel.
What's is that three total bodies? Is it?
It's more part of total body, more on the first day, and the second day is more upper body.
Yeah.
They'll be upper body lift today after practice.
Good, good. You know, Coach, we end the show with some resources. What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Never stop learning. I think that's the biggest thing, and never get stale. I mean, here we always use the term keep adding tools to your toolbox and things, and I think that's been a commonality of us being in strength coaching clinics, and the people we've been around, been very blessed to be around the Joe Kins and the Pat Ivies and the guys, a lot of guys that have been in our clinics, share a lot of those same similarities and tend to give.
Yep.
I think that's one of the biggest things, and not getting pigeonholed. And there's a lot of great things at work that you're probably not used to. It took me a while to buy into kettlebells for me,
right.
And see how that works. At times of year, is it always a piece we do? No, we still power clean, we still squat, we still chain squat. We do a lot of things, some West Side stuff, but where does it fit? And you're gonna coach it. And if you're just gonna, you're just gonna add it in there, is it gonna be a part of your deal? You're just gonna just have it in there because someone thinks you should do it.
Sure.
It's gonna become part of what you do. And I think that's the buy-in from the athlete. I think they have to know we're doing it, why are we doing it? Does it matter for us? Are we doing this conditioning because so-and-so's doing it? Are we doing it because so-and-so's doing it? Are we doing it because it's what we believe in?
Right.
So I think that's one thing you've got to kind of let your kids buy into a little bit easier, not just grasping stuff. Second of all, I think, there's a lot of, great books out there that people have been reading lately. But, one I talked about earlier is, Eaters Lead Last. Leaders Eat Last. I like that book. It's kind of, it kind of brings a lot of things in perspective.
Sure.
I haven't read a lot this last few months because I haven't been reading a lot of new stuff lately. But, there's a lot of things that I want to read that I haven't had time to read right now.
Right.
With camp going on and everything. But there's a lot of great stuff out there. I think, even when I was a kid, I was always trying to get Muscle Fitness magazines, the Tom Platts of the world.
Absolutely.
There's not enough stuff on athleticism.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff on bodybuilding and power, but there was nothing on the athleticism stuff that you get now. The Stack Magazine, that's a great website, especially for high school kids and coaches.
Yeah.
The nutrition pieces on that deal, I look at it all the time. It's a great website for young kids to know recruiting, to know nutrition, and they get a lot of great people who are great professionals and what they do. I think, and you get a lot of roundabout. You get baseball pieces, lacrosse pieces in there, football, basketball. It's such a well-done website and magazine. I think it's one of the better ones out there from the athletic standpoint.
I agree with
that.
Dealing
with recruiting and everything. Especially if you got kids, if you got young kids that are growing up and as a parent or even as a high school coach, I think it's a great resource.
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, I mean, you gave a book and a website already. Is there any apps that you use?
Probably not as many as I should. I probably don't use, the coaches, I think the
coach's, video, eye,
coach's eye is a good one. I like that, and especially when you're dealing with speed work for guys getting ready for the combine stuff and the pro days, and just reinforcing a lot of stuff, just the normal camera phone. Instead of having a video camera back out in the day, the big VHS thing and trying to video and getting it back.
Right
and,
now,
and you just get a lot of things done easier, and it goes back to what we talked about, time.
Right.
You can break down video. When you gonna get them back? How are you gonna teach that? And I think the phones and the stuff that they're out there now allow you to do a lot more stuff instantaneously. Even as a young coach, if you're a high school coach, you can knock out some stuff that that we can do easily. So
absolutely,
it gives you some time. And it's amazing how many parents are out at camps videotaping their kids running a 40. You know, they're coaching them up on the side. So they're using their own technology to help the kids.
Agreed. Well, Coach, I want to acknowledge you for a minute, man. I mean, one, you know, we've spoken at clinics together. We've known each other for a long time. And, you know, what you mentioned earlier about, you know, like it took a while for you to put kettlebells in. It took a while. I see that in, you know, when I watch you from afar. I mean, you're not just, I mean, you're taking notes. You're internalizing it. You're figuring out what you can take, what you can't take, you know, and really being diligent about, you know, what you bring back to your athletes and all that. I see that. And the second thing is just that, I mean, you've always been an open door. I mean, you've always been gracious and allowed me to visit. You've always, and I mean, we just sat down talking earlier about the heart that you have for, you know, giving back to some of these communities that don't have, you know, strength and performance coaches at their, you know, at every block, like some of these places, and just the heart that you have to try to bring that to them. So, man, I really appreciate you as a friend. I appreciate the opportunity to come down and talk to you.
I'm glad you're doing this, man. You're going to do a great job. You're going to help a lot of people. Continue to do that. Continue to do what you've been doing. I mean, I'm glad you got the time to do it again. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.